Of the Keltish diplomats assigned to Adendrill, he was the one who had done the most to bring Kelton forward into the alliance of the Midlands through the Central Council. He cajoled and persuaded his mother, the Queen, to go the route of peace rather than conflict. Prince Fyron was a gentleman in every sense of the word. "Besides being a murderer, General Karsh, you are also a traitor to your own land and crown, to your own queen." He hammered his pewter mug down on the table.
"I'm a patriot, a protector of my people."
She leaned the slightest bit forward. "You're a treasonous bastard and an outlaw cutthroat without conscience. I leave to Prince Fyron the honor of condemning you to death. It will, of course, be a posthumous sentence." Karsh pounded his fist.
"The good spirits know of your treachery against the people of the Midlands. This proves their words true. They've told us we cannot be free as long as you live. They've called upon us to kill all those like you, all those who blaspheme. The good spirits will not abandon us in our struggle. We shall defeat all who do the keeper's bidding."
"No real officer," she said contemptuously, "would listen to the babbling of the blood." The wizard had made an angry-looking ball of liquid fire and was slowly juggling it back and forth between his hands while he watched her. The flames spit and hissed, dropping little sparks. General Riggs belched and then put his knuckles on the table as he leaned toward her.
"Enough talking. Get down here, you little wench, so we can start the party. Us brave freedom fighters need a little fun."
General Karsh at last smiled.
"And then, tomorrow, or perhaps the next day, you will be beheaded. Our men, our people, will rejoice at your death. They will exult in our triumph over the Mother Confessor, the symbol of oppression by magic."
His smile left as he turned red-faced once more.
"The people must see your punishment to know that good can prevail, to have hope. When we have your head, our people can rejoice."
"Rejoice that all you brave freedom fighters are strong enough to kill a single woman?"
"No,"
General Riggs said. He appeared for the first time sober as he looked up at her.
"You miss the true meaning of what we do. You fail to see its significance."
His voice lowered, his tone softened.
"It's a new age we enter, Confessor. An age that has no place for your old religions. The line of confessors and their wizards is at an end. There was a time, 3,000 years ago, when nearly everyone was born with the gift. Magic held sway over all things. That magic was used to vie for power. Wizards abused their power. In their greed, they killed one another. They killed others who had the gift, and so fewer lived to pass it on. Over time, those with the gift were culled from the race of men. Yet those left still contested for rule and further thinned the ranks of those born with the gift. The magic, the other creatures of magic who were their charges, such as you, have been steadily stripped of their protection and fount of magic. Today, there are almost none born with the gift. Magic itself is dying with them. They have had their chance to rule, just as did Darkenrall with his magic, and they have failed. Their time, the time of wizards, is past. Their protection of the twilight beings is at an end, and so the age of magic is at an end. The time of man is upon us now, and there is no place in that world for the ancient, dying religion you call magic. It is time for man to take his place as inheritor of the world. The Imperial Order is upon the world now. And if it were not them, it would be man by another name. It is time for man to rule, for magic to die.
Kaelin felt a sudden hollowness. An unexpected tear ran down her cheek. A choking feeling of true panic clawed at her throat.
"Do you hear that, Slagle?"
she whispered hoarsely.
"You have magic. The ones you aid would put an end to you, too."
He tossed the little ball of fire to his other hand, the light of its flames dancing across his grim face.
"It is as it must be. Magic, chaste or foul, is the keeper's conduit to this world. When I have helped extinguish magic in all its forms, then I, too, must die. In that way, I will serve the people."
Riggs gazed up to her, almost sorrowfully, as he went on.
"Our people must see the last living embodiment of that religion die. You are its symbol. the last creature of magic created by wizards. With your death, they will be filled with hope for the future and be emboldened to extinguish all the remaining pockets of filth and perversion that are magic. We are the plowshare. Those lands now infested with magic will be freed of its taint and can be resettled by pious people. Then, at last, we shall all be free of your dogmas, which have no part in the glory of the future of man.
He straightened, taking a drink from his mug. The harshness returned to his voice.
After we finish with you, then we'll bring Galea to heal and the rest of the lands.
He slammed the mug down.
Until complete and total victory is ours, we demand war!
Rage swelled in her, banishing the momentary sensation of loss and panic, swelled on behalf of all those beings, the twilight beings who depended upon her for voice and protection. She nodded slowly as she held the general's gaze. In my capacity as Mother Confessor, the highest rank of authority in the Midlands, to whose mandate all must bow, I grant your wish. She leaned forward and spoke in a hiss.
Let there be war. On my word and office, not one of you shall be granted quarter.
Kaelin's fist came up to the wizard. It was for him she had come. Her chest heaved with wrath and with terror at the madness of these men. She let the magic surge within her, demanding release, demanding this wizard's death. It was for him she had come. She must not fail. The blood rage screamed through her. She called the lightning forth.
Nothing happened.
She froze for an instant in the panic of the failure of the magic. Then Riggs lunged for her leg. Kaelin hauled back on the reins. The ferocious warhorse sprang into battle. He bellowed as he reared, kicking his front legs. Kaelin grasped his mane for dear life. A lashing hoof caught Riggs across the face, throwing him back. The thrashing hooves crashed down on the table, shattering it to splinters. Men in chairs toppled backward. Nick's front hooves crushed the head of one of the Dharan officers, the leg of another. The horse spun and kicked at the men. Kaelin gave him her heels, and he leapt into a gallop as the wizard was rising to his feet. Surprised men threw themselves out of the way. She took a quick glance over her shoulder to see the wizard throwing his hands out. A ball of wizard's fire exploded to life before him, turning in the air, awaiting command. He threw his arms out again, sending the fire on its way toward her. The warhorse leapt over fires and men, kicking up both snow and flaming firewood. His legs caught tent lines, yanking them down. Kaelin spotted what she wanted more than life itself, and maneuvered the horse for it. She could hear the wail of the wizard's fire coming for her. She could hear the screams of men unexpectedly caught up in it. She stole another glance to see the blue and yellow ball of flame tumbling through the tents and men, growing all the time, taking a course as drunken as the wizard. Wizard's fire had to be guided, and in his state, the wizard was having difficulty controlling what he had wrought. Were he sober, she would be dead by now.
Dear spirits, she prayed, if I'm to die, let me have time enough first to do what I must.
Kaelin reached her goal. As she galloped past, she yanked a lance from a snowbank and wheeled her horse. She dug her heels in, and Nick leapt ahead at a full gallop. The ball of fire wailed toward her, setting tents and men afire. It grew and tumbled as the distance closed. The lance was unexpectedly heavy, made for men who had more muscle than she, and she had to carry it upright to save her strength. The warhorse didn't flinch as he galloped, not at the noise, the confusion, the running men, or the wizard's fire. She pulled to one side and then the other, Nick's hooves digging into the packed snow. She dodged obstacles, weaving her way toward the wizard's fire at full speed, toward the wizard. Slagel tried to change the course of the fire, to block her advance, each time she wove in her headlong rush. His reactions were slow, but as the distance closed, she knew he wouldn't need to be fast to catch her up in it. At the last instant, she wheeled her horse around to the right. The fire roared by so close she could smell burnt hair, and then she was racing again. As she charged the horse ahead, the wizard's fire exploded behind, cascading across the ground like a burst dam. The horrifying death screams of man and beast caught in the conflagration filled the night air. Dozens of men, all afire, rolled through the snow trying to put out the flames. But wizard's fire was not so easy to extinguish. It was alive with purpose. The howls of pain panicked those around who didn't know what was happening. Men screamed in fear of spirits they thought were setting upon them. Swords were drawn and wielded, hacking at those running for their lives from the fire. Battle erupted out of nothing. The air carried not only the choking stench of burning flesh, but now blood. She ignored the screams and sought the silence within. The wizard stumbled backward and fell. He came to his feet, whirling his arms. Fire formed in the air at the arc of his fingertips. Though there was confusion all about, only one thing filled her vision: the wizard. She couched the lance, tucking the base under her right armpit, jamming her grip tight against the leather stop. Gritting her teeth, she used all her strength to lift the heavy lance over Nick's bobbing head to the left side so as not to unbalance herself in the saddle. Nick took her direction as if he could read her mind. She steered him at full speed, but it seemed to her that the last 10 yards took hours, a race between her charge and the wizard calling forth fire. Wizard Slagle looked up to direct the fire just as her lance caught him in the chest. The impact shattered the lance to splinters at mid-length and nearly tore the wizard in half. She and her horse flew through a spray of blood. Kaelin swung the half-lance at a man lunging for her, catching him across the head. The impact tore the lance from her grip. She wheeled the horse and leaned forward over his withers as she galloped at full speed back through the confusion around the command tents. Her heart pounded as fast as the horse's hooves. One of the Dharan officers from the table was up and screaming for a horse. Men leapt onto horses bareback. As she began putting distance between them, she could hear him yell that if they failed to catch her, they would be drawn and quartered to a man. A quick glance showed a good 36 riders joining the chase. Away from the command tents, back the way she had come, men didn't know what was happening, and saw a galloping rider as simply part of the drunken festivities. None moved to stop her. Men, tents, fires, pole arms, and lances stuck upright in the snow, stacks of pikes, horses and wagons all flashed by in a blur.